Okay, so today it's Ksubas Daf Vav. I should have mentioned on Shabbos, Shabbos's daf was sponsored by Helene Pizer on the occasion of the yahrzeit of her father, David Yitzchak ben Yehoshua. So that was on Shabbos. All right, now, so learning on Shabbos was L'ilui Nishmato. All right, now, we're on Chaf Vav. Let me, did you do yesterday's daf, Michael? You gave the shiur or not? Oh. Okay, so I'm gonna go back a little bit from yesterday, drop, and then I'll connect it all. But so if you look around, five lines above where it gets wide on Chaf Hey Amud Beis 25b. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Rebbe Chiya, Chad Hila Ben Al Pi Aviv Lakuna. One, elevated a son based on the statement or testimony of his father. In other words, to be a Kohen. In other words, that he's a full-fledged Kohen. In other words, Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya, one of them was Mala's son based on the statement of the father. It means we didn't know anything about the son. He suddenly shows up. We don't even know how to son, whatever. He shows up and the father says, he's my son and he's a Kohen. And the other was he elevated a brother based on the first brother's statement to be a Levi. So the Gemara says, Tistayim de Rebbe Hela Ben Al Pi Aviv Lakuna. You should conclude that Rebbe is the one who elevated the son to be a Kohen. Tani, we learn in the Braisa. Amar a Kohen who, if somebody suddenly shows up, and we don't know this person from Adam, and suddenly he shows up, and he says he's my son and he's a Kohen. Neman lachilo betruma, so he's the Braisa says he's neman to give him truma. In other words, he's neman that he's entitled to eat truma. Neman divirebi, but he's not neman to establish it to marry a woman. So either way, Rashi learned, we learned the sugya earlier. Rashi learned that whether it's a chashash of a mamzer or not tin, but we learned another pshat in the Gemara earlier that it meant that he's a full-fledged kohen, and if anybody marries him, it's that he's not a halal. He's not a halal, and that his wife would not be tainted as a result of marrying him, because the wife then would be prohibited from ever marrying a kohen, and the daughter would also not be in any way tainted. So he says, he says, they don't name Allah, so we should do Rebbe. Amalo Rebbe Chiyas. So Rebbe Chiyas says to Rebbe, if you believe him that he can eat truma, you should believe him that he's genealogical proper to there's no that he can marry whoever needs to marry, and there's not a chashash either that he's a halal or the Rashi learns that he's a mamzer. If you don't believe him that he can marry the woman, lo tamino. So in other words, it's one or the other. Either you believe him, you believe him or not. So Amarle, so Rebbe says to him, Anima mino, that's not the way. Amarle, we're four lines from the bottom on Payment Base, but 25b, page 50, four lines from the bottom. So Amarlo, Anima mino lachlo betruma, I, Rebbe, believe that the father is Naaman to establish that this person is his son and that he's entitled to eat truma, should be a double lachlo betruma. In other words, if something's biyado, this isn't so pashut, but it needs much more. Bayer, but something is biyado is greater ne'emanus. So the father is in a position to give him truma. He's a Kohen, he's got truma. He could give him truma if he would choose. But he's not in a position, to establish his bona fides in terms of marriage. He says, in other words, there's other people involved to marry, the kala first and foremost. So I believe him for one, not the other. So the Gemara says to Stayim. So from this incident, we believe that Rebbe is, again, one of them was Machshir, a Kohen based on the father's statement, the other a Levi based on the brother's statement. We believe that the Kohen statement is Rebbe. So the Gemara says, it means Rebbe Hela Ben Al Pi Aviv Lakuna, since Rebbe is the one who elevated a son based on the father's statement for Kuhuna, Rebbe Chia Hela Ach Al Pi Aviv Levia. So Rebbe Chia, by process of elimination, must have elevated the brother to Leviam. So we think right now that Rabbi Chiya doesn't hold from Rabbi's din. In other words, that we think that Rabbi Chiya would not agree like with the Kohen situation, but he only agrees with the lady situation. We don't understand what the distinction is. Rabbi Chiya, Maishna ben Delo, the Karahu is Leviam. So why would Rabbi Chiya not, subscribe to the father, being the testimony to, establish the bona fides for the son as a Kohen? Mistaba, because he's related. So, relative is always a zero in halacha. So, Achnami Karu Beis Lachim. So, brother is also, related. So, how come one works? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So, the Gemara says on Chafavim and Aleph, the top line, So the Gemara says Rabbi Chiya, when he subscribed that the brother could say the other one's a brother, it wasn't in any way begetter testimony. It was just Mesiach Lefitumo. In other words, the person was speaking in his innocence and didn't in any way intend it to be used as testimony, and we're going to extrapolate from that statement. So it means that Rabbi Chiya doesn't hold from either case. In other words, if it's Eidos, so the father with the son not, then the brother with the Levi also. But in the case of Mesiach Lefitumo, and this is the general style of Halakha, Mesiach Lefitumo, you know, sometimes it might be, you know, somebody's not kosher for Eidos, like typically a non-Jew. But if they Mesiach Lefitumo, if they say something in their innocence, then sometimes you can use the statement. So the Gemara is going to give an example, then I'll pause in just a few lines, okay? So the Gemara says on the top line, 26a, the top line, he says, Ki hadi amar Rav Yudah mar Shmuel, this is just an example of Mesiach Lefitumo. It's a different case. He says, like Rav Yudah said in Shmuel, Ma'aseh b'adam achad she Mesiach Lefitumo. There was somebody who was like talking, you know, just, you know, and he says, Va'amar, he said, Zuchurani kshani tinok. I remember when I was, you know, a little yingle. He says, Umurkavach tefo shel Abba. And I was like, not that he was per se doing it at that moment, but my father would, you know, give me a piggyback, you know, things like that. He says, Vahotziuni bebeda sefer. I remember they took me out of cheder, Vishituni akutanti, and they stripped me of my, you know, my tunic. It means like his garments. He says, Vibiluni lechol trum, but trum le'erev. And I remember they threw me in the mikvah so that I would be able to eat truma in the evening. Rabbi Chiya Masayimba and Rabbi Chiya concluded, we're on Chafav Manalap around the eighth line. Okay, Chafav 26a around the eighth line. Rabbi Chiya Masayimba and Rabbi Chiya would say that the statement concluded as follows, the Chavei Rai B'delin Mimeni, my friends would be separated from me. Now, let me just pause for a second. It means like this, that the way Rashi explains that if he was in school, so the top line of Rashi, he says, "Meneshestam tinok metapech ba'ashpod u'tratzim mesuyim sham." Like the usual child, he touches around with everything, and he touches the garbage, and there is tratzim, a dead sheretz, which is an avatuma. So if he's like in the sefer and he wants to eat truma or a situation like that, they want to make sure he goes to the mikvah, and then that evening he'll be able to eat truma. And then he says, "Rabbi Chiya Masayimba v'chavi rai b'delin mimeni." My friends would be separated away from me. In other words, when he's back in the yeshiva and he's eating lunch or whatever, and he doesn't want to, you know, have them be mitami him. But you call to Yochanan ochel chalot. They called me Yochanan, the eater of the chalot. In other words, he's eating like the chala is one of the matnot kuna. So he says, "Behelau Rebbe lekuna al pip." So based on that statement, Rebbe said this fellow is a full-fledged Kohen, but it's an example. In other words, even though it's his own statement, normally his own statement wouldn't be enough to establish his right to be a Kohen, but here was Mesiach Lefitumo, so it was. So again, let's just summarize, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So this is the tail end of a previous sugya. We're going to end the sugya, but we said that according to Rebbe, if somebody comes and says, my son, we didn't know the son from, you know, Adam, he says, it's my son and he's a Kohen. So Rebbe says he's Neman la Chilo b'truma. We can accept it to eat truma, but not la Hasiyo Isha. That statement is enough to do it that way. And Rebbe Chiya doesn't want to rely on the statement of the father because Karo was not Neman for that purpose. And then the Gemara says, but what was the case that Rebbe Chiya said that, well, you know, one brother could, you know, identify another brother as being a Levi? It's Mesiach Lefitumo. In that instance, we could do it. Okay, who's the question comes to sending that so far? What's up? See again what? I don't know. I know what you know. You see here in the Gemara. He says that he was piggybacking on the father. So I assume it's like maybe, I don't know, it might be 3, 4, 5. I don't know how old he was. It's somewhere in that range. Okay? All right. Let's see back but obviously when he's making the statement, he's much older. In other words, he's right. Well, or when... All right, so maybe, I don't know, 6, I don't know. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. You know, Ben Chamesh Lamikra.
Can I just ask a question?
Okay, I'm just finishing up with Rafi. In other words, the Mishnah says when you're 5-year-old, you're already studying Sukkim, so he could have been a 5-year-old. Okay, what's up, Fern? What do you got?
Does this have to be a hush of a person? I mean, you don't know the kahuna status. He's establishing it. But if I just dropped out of another village from another place, is it given the same credibility?
Yeah, what I what, you know, what you mean? One village they're not so reliable; the other villages they are. You mean? I don't, the presumption is that people would only eat truma if they were entitled to eat truma. That's the assumption that the konim or zahir with that, because again, it's a chiv misa b'day shemayim if you're not entitled to eat truma. So the assumption is that they're being very careful on who eats truma. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara now. So we're around eight lines down on Chaf Av Manal 26a. So last word line is Tanya. So Tanya, we learn in the Brisa. This is a new paragraph. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Shem Shet Truma Chazaka L'Kahuna. So Rav Shimon Elazar takes it that Truma, in other words, the fact that you're receiving Truma establishes a presumption that you are a full-fledged Kohen. Kach Maaser Rishon Chazaka L'Kahuna. So too, the fact that you're, you know, receiving Maaser Rishon is also a presumption that you're a Kohen. Well, in Maaser Rishon, we usually think of going to Levi, and we'll explain the Gemara shortly. We must be patient. But Cholek B'Beitin in a Chazaka, and we think it means, and we don't understand this yet, we think it means that if the Truma was distributed under the aegis of Bezdin, then that's not enough to establish a presumption that he's a Kohen. And we don't understand that line, and we'll get to it. So the Gemara says, Maaser Rishon, the Levi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If he's receiving Maaser Rishon, that establishes that he's a bona fide Kohen, but Maaser Rishon, as far as we're aware, goes to Levium. So how does that help to establish he's a Kohen? So the Gemara says, and you may remember this, we had a sugi about this, for Reb Lazar ben Azariah, this Tana is following the Shita, the Tana Reb Lazar ben Azariah, the Tani, but learning the Braisa, Truma le Kohen, Maaser Rishon Levi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Truma goes to the Kohen, Maaser Rishon goes to Levi. Reb Lazar ben Azariah Omer, Maaser Rishon af le Kohen. Reb Lazar ben Azariah says that Maaser Rishon also goes to the Kohen, meaning Reb Lazar ben Azariah says that Maaser Rishon is for the whole Shevet Levi. So Kohenim, all the Kohenim are Levim, right? But Kohenim are Levim b'nei Aharon. So every Kohen is a Levi. They're from Shevet Levi. So according to Reb Lazar ben Azariah, Maaser Rishon could also go to Kohenim. So the Gemara says, Amor d'am Reb Lazar ben Azariah af le Kohen. So the only thing you proved is that he might be a Levi, he might be a Kohen. How did you prove that he's a Kohen if he's getting Maaser Rishon? So the Kohen, the little Levi, Miyamar, did he say, did Reb Lazar ben Azariah ever say that it's only through Kohen and not a Levi? So with the first wide line on Chaf Av Manal, in Labatar, the Kansino Ezra. No, there was a point in time that Ezra penalized Levium. If you remember, we've had this, and it comes up elsewhere in Shas, that Levium didn't make Aliyah in the time of Ezra, or adequately. So Ezra penalized the Levium. So according to Reb Lazar ben Azariah, before he penalized them, Maaser Rishon could go to Kohen or Levi. And then he penalized them that only the Kohenim are going to get Maaser Rishon now. That's what it is. So this Tana is talking about after Ezra penalized the Levium. So the fact that he's getting the Maaser Rishon, we think that he must be a Kohen. That's what we think. It says the Kansinu Ezra. So, and So let's see back in the Gemara. The Dilma, Ikru, Vyahavli. But who knows? Maybe it happened, you know, that they gave it to him and, you know, and he was really a Levi. So, Amar Rav Chista, Hachabai Eskinon. So, Rav Chista says, what are we talking about in the Braisa when we said where was the statement? Right. Earlier, where was it? He says, Tani, right. He says, Rav Shimon Elazar said, Truma's Chazak Lakuna, Maaser Rishon's Chazak Lakuna. What is he talking about? The Maaser Rishon's Chazak Lakuna. In other words, we had already established that this, the one who's receiving the Maaser Rishon, his father, we know, is a full fledged Kohen. Benafak Ale Kala, the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu. But there's a rumor floating around that the son is the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So if the father married a grusha, that's prohibited from the Torah, right? The Kohen's not allowed to marry a grusha. Any offspring between the Kohen and the grusha is a halal. The halal has zero rights to truma and zero duties as a Kohen. He's zero. He's a halal, but he's nothing with the kuna. And Ben Chalutza is a din derabanan that he's considered to be a halal because Chalitza looks a lot like you know, grusha. So they're both like dissolving the union between a man and a woman. So it looks a lot like it. So they said that Ben Chalutz is also pasul. He says, so again, so we know that, so we're talking about a situation, let's give them names. Let's say Reuven's father is Aaron, he's a Kohen, and Reuven received Maaser Rishon. So we're going to say that that will establish that Reuven is a bona fide Kohen. So the Gemara says the case is, so we know his father's 100% Kohen, but there are rumors that Reuven is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. If he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, he's not entitled to Truma, he's not entitled to Ras Harif, not entitled to anything. So they gave him Maaser Rishon, the Beta Garnot, in the granary. So now what are the possibilities? Levi, so maybe he's a Levi. So no, the law of Levi, we said he's not a Levi, the father's a Kohen, so that's a zero. So Ma'ik Lememar, so what are the other possibilities left? He says Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, maybe he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So Lomibai Laman Damar Maaser Rishon Aser Lazarim, Lohabu Yahavule. So now, there's machloket in the Gemara. Whoever receives the Maaser Rishon, whether it's the Levi, whoever's the appropriate recipient of Maaser Rishon, does Maaser Rishon have a din like Truma? Truma is only eaten by Kohanim. So is Maaser Rishon only eaten by those who were entitled to Maaser Rishon? So it would depend on we're saying according to the laws of Nazaria, after the Knas of Ezra, it's just the Kohanim could eat Maaser Rishon. He says, so for that, certainly they would not give it to him if he, didn't fit the bill. He says, Ela Pitlaman Damar Maaser Rishon Mutar Lazarim, but even according to the opinion, it says Maaser Rishon is Mutar Lazarim. In other words, a non-lady, non-Kohen could eat Maaser Rishon. He says, Hani Milay Lemisbaklu, that's to eat it. Aval Bator Chaluka Lo Yahavilei. He says, but they would never give it to somebody. In other words, I have a din Maaser Rishon. My chiyuv is to give it to a bona fide, according to Blazam Azari, a bona fide Kohen. So I don't fulfill my obligation by giving it to somebody who's not a bona fide Kohen, certainly not to a halal. He says, Vacholek Bevetin. Okay, so that piece we did. Let me just do three more lines, then I'll pause, then we'll take some. Wait. In other words, there's the Beta Gara note. He's the owner of the farmer. Farmer's giving it to the Kohanim, and he shows up, and the farmer has established that that in other words, the farm, he's a Kohen to the satisfaction. Yeah, but even if the Tzar could eat it, but the Tzar can't get the Maaser Rishon. In other words, Kohen could give him as a gift, or he can invite me over for lunch at the Kohen's house. That could be the case. Well, yeah, but it can't. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. Okay, so the Gemara says, now the next line in the Braisa was, this is around the eighth white line on Tafamunala. Bacholek the Beitin in a Chazaka. So we think right now that the Pshat in the Braisa is that if somebody is receiving the Truma under the aegis of the Bezdin, he's not a Kohen. We don't even bake in Lohavi Chazaka. Hey, Lohavi Chazaka. If that doesn't work, in other words, if the Bezdin's not reliable, where is it reliable? So Amar of Sheshet Haki Kamar. Sheshet said, this is what the Tana of the Braisa means. Acholik Truma Benechse Aviv Imechav Bebeitin Eina Chazaka. That you have, someone's Aaron a Kohen passed away. Aaron a Kohen has several sons, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and concerning Reuven, there's a question whether he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So they're dividing up the estate, and in the estate, there's Truma to be divided up as well. So the Tana of the Braisa is saying that if a person divides up Truma, Benichse Aviv, in the father's estate with his brothers, the fact that he's getting a portion of the Truma does not per se establish that he's a bona fide Kohen. The Gemara Sepshita, that's obvious. In other words, the Truma is an asset. So the father owns the Truma. The fact that he's entitled to a portion, obviously. So the Gemara says, I would have thought, the other brothers, who there's no rumor about being, I guess, the different wives or whatever, there's no Chashash ben Grusha ben Chalutza, they're getting the Truma for eating purposes. That's what I would have thought. So he's also getting it for eating purposes as well. So Tamash Malan, Hanakla Achila, Hanilizibuni. No, some could be getting it for eating purposes, some could be getting it just an asset, and they'll sell it, and that'll be the way it will go. All right, Let's take a look. All right, let's just summarize what we did, then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the Gemara here says that if a person is a recipient of Truma, that establishes that he is a Kohen. And then the Gemara also says that he's a recipient of Maaser Rishon, it also establishes he's a Kohen. And then we said that if you divide up the Truma and the Bezdin, that does not establish that you're a Kohen. So we said, what's doing Maaser Rishon? As far as we know, Levi's the one who gets Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara says that this, the Tan of the Braisa follows Rav Lazar ben Azariah. Rav Lazar ben Azariah holds that a Kohen or a Levi can receive Maaser Rishon, but we're also talking about after the Knas that Ezra imposed on Levium, because they didn't make Aliyah, that they forfeit the right to receive Maaser Rishon, and now, from this point forward, only Kohenim are getting the Maaser Rishon. So Mela, if he receives the Maaser Rishon, according to this Tana, that establishes that he's a Kohen. And then just give me 30 more seconds, I'll get you, okay? Then the Gemara says, if he divides it up in Bezdin, that means if he and his brothers come to divide the father's assets, and concerning this brother, there's a question when he's a Ben Grush Ben Chalutza, and he's dividing up all, and again, the truma could be a significant amount of truma. I don't know how he could be getting recipients from a lot of people over many years. So the fact that he gets a portion of the truma does not establish that he's a Kohen. So why would I think it establishes that? It's just an asset. So I would have thought, since the other brothers are getting it for eating purposes, he also said, no, each one gets it for his own purpose. Okay, what's up with Dave? No. What do you mean they're no Kohenim? And we'll call Israel, they're no Kohenim? Otherwise, he'll hold. No. According to Blazim, he'd hold on to it until he finds a Kohenim. In other words, there's no Kohenim in the face of the earth. That we've never had such a thing, thank God. So. Yeah, after the Knas, he means, yeah. Yeah, what's up? Yeah, no, so it means like this. Look, let's say there's $1,000 worth of truma. So I divide it up, and let's say there are four sons. So each son gets a quarter. So the one who has the quarter, that he can't eat it, he'll sell it. That'll be the way it'll go. Well, if people are from, again, if you're a czar and you eat truma, that's a chiv misa bidei shamayim. So it's only truma people now. What's up? No, the father's dead, but he's out of the picture. Okay. All right. Everybody good in the cyber world? All right. Knas. Which takana? That's a knas, a penalty, knas. No. In other words, that's from the time of Ezra going forward. In other words, not from the taluy of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, truma is even after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Well, I mean, the truma has to be in a state of tahara, but when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they still had truma. According to Rav Lazar ben Azariah, I don't think it's according to Rabbi Akiva. I think according to Rabbi Akiva, he learns that the Knas was that before only Levim could get it. Now Levim or Kohenim could get it. That's the way the Tana Rabbi Akiva, I think, learns. Okay? All right. I'm going to go further in the Gemara. No, the Gemara didn't say. The Gemara was working within Rav Lazar ben Azariah. I think that's the way Rabbi Akiva holds. Because the Gemara says, right. But everybody agrees that Ezra had a knas against Levium. So I'm starting off that way. In other words, I have my baseline and then I go on. So according to Rav Lazar ben Azariah, the baseline is the Maaser Rishon is for both. So then the knas is just for the Kohenim. According to Rabbi Akiva, the baseline is that only I think the Levium were getting it, and now he says that the Kohenim are going to get it. Now they both get it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get back in the Gemara. So now I have to go over the Mishnah we did on Shabbos, and this is a tricky Mishnah. And let's go back to Chaf Gimel Majez. Okay. 23b. We're going back to 23b just for a few minutes. Okay. Page 46. Chaf Gimel Majez. Let's all look in the Mishnah. Okay. So again, so Manithin V'chein Shnei Anashim. You have two people. We don't know them from Adam. Zomer Kohen and Eve. Zomer Kohen and Eve. And Eman. Each one says, "I'm a Kohen." You know, take that, and it doesn't do anything for us. But if each one says, "I'm a Kohen and my friend is a Kohen," he says, "Hareilu ne'amanim." So they're ne'amanim, meaning the Tanakh Kama holds that one aid is sufficient to establish the right to kahuna. And again, so this is the Tanakh Kama. So the Gemara ends up saying, and this is the way Rav Katia said as well, the Tanakh Kama holds that we're not mala liyuchsin from the fact that you're getting truma. So in other words, so it's enough. 1A is enough to establish your right to eat truma. 1A, but not enough to establish your right for yuchsin, that you're genealogically pure kohen. Okay, he said, but then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Malin Lekuno Pied Echad. The Tanna Rabbi Yehuda says, one witness is never a good to establish. In other words, the way the Gemara learned, remember we had one witness in the Gemara, that the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda holds that Malin Leyuchsin Mitruma. If I see a kohen who's, you know, accepting truma, then from there I can extrapolate that his yuchsin, his yichus is good. So he says one aid is never good, even for truma purposes, because then I'm opening up the whole lot to him. So one aid is never good, and it's certainly not good here in a case where I have a kashash for gomlin, that they're each reciprocating and lying on behalf of the other one. In other words, if Reuben says that Shimon is the kohen, and Shimon says Reuben's the kohen, like we're afraid, like there's like kinunya, like they worked out a deal, they fly for each other. But one aid is never enough, according to the Tanna of Yehuda, and certainly not where there's chashash gomlin. Okay, now the next four lines in the Mishnah are the difficult part, which will be the subject of today's Gemara. Amr Blazar, Imatai, Mekom Shish Orin. Reb Lazar says, when is it that I can't accept one aid when there's a challenge to the person's status? In other words, person or persons have come to Bezin and say he's not a Kohen. So I can't take one person to sort of re-ingratiate him or establish his bona fides. But if there are no challenges, then one aid would be enough. And the Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rebbe Shimon Ben Askan, Malin Lekun Al Piyadachad. He says, no, one aid is enough. Okay, now, the Gemara is going to say in a minute that that Rebbe Shimon Gamliel can't be talking about a case where there are Orin, where there are people who are challenging it. So we don't understand how Rebbe Shimon Gamliel is different than Reb Lazar. In other words, Reb Lazar says if there are no Orin, then one aid is enough. Shlil says that we're malin lekun al piyed echad. We don't understand what the difference between those two opinions would be. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. Chafav ben Aleph. No. Each person has got one in his slot. His testimony is worthless. Okay. All right. Let's see back on the Gemara. Now. So now we're on Chafav ben Aleph, five lines to the bottom. Reb Yehuda Omer ein malin lekun al piyed echad bechulei. To Rabbi Shemuel, it should be Reb Lazar. That's the way the Rosh Hashanah says. So Reb Shemuel seems to be the same as Reb Lazar. They both hold, we think, that one aid is enough if there are no Orin. Maybe the nafkamina between the two is when the Tanna refers to an RR, to a challenge, how many people need to come forward to make the challenge? So maybe the nafkamina is RR Achad, Ikibinayu. Reb Lazar Sab, RR Achad. Reb Lazar holds that one person is enough to make a challenge to a person's, you know, identity. So he holds that one witness, I have one witness here, one witness there, that's not enough to establish it. But if there's no challenge to him, then one witness would be enough to establish that he's a Kohen. That's what we think. Whereas he says, Reb Shimon Leil Sab, RR Trey. Google says, in order to establish a challenge, I need two Adim to come forward. So if two Adim come forward, so then one witness versus the two is definitely not going to work. But Lu Yetzur, there'll be one versus one, then the one witness that says he is a Kohen would be enough to maintain his status. That's what you think. So the Gemara says, but can that be true? Ha'amar Reb Yochanan, the three lines to the bottom, Reb Yochanan says, Divrei HaKol, everyone holds in RR Pachot Mishnayim that to challenge somebody's bona fides as a Kohen, there are always two witnesses have to come forward. So let's see. So the Gemara says, so that's not the Pshat. El Hachem Yaskinan. So what's the case in the Mishnah? The Muchsaklan Bavua Dehai the Kohenu. The first episode is, again, Reuven's father is Aaron the Kohen. So we know that Aaron Cohen is definitely a Cohen. That's the starting point. We know that his father was definitely, a fine Cohen. He says, "V'nafak le'kalad ben Grusha ben Chalutzu." And now a rumor has circulated that Reuven the son is a ben Grusha ben Chalutzu. That Aaron had married a Grusha or a Chalutzu, and the son is a halal, so he's a halal, he's entitled to zero in terms of kuna. He says, Ba'achtine. So as a result of that, we in the Beis Din, we removed him from his status as a Kohen pending further investigation. In other words, we're going to look into the whole thing. He says, and Rashi says, Ba'achtine min akuna ad shiyub tekuid adavar, shemalu lakuna. In other words, so we can investigate the whole thing. I think he means the stringency by kuna that even though it's just a rumor, we're going to remove him from his status. Okay, so again, so he was a Kohen, now he's removed from it. Ba'ata Edecha, the bottom line, Ba'ata Edecha, the Mar Yadana Bey, the Kohenu. And now one witness comes forward and says, I know with certainty that Reuven is a Kohen, meaning he's not a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So back in the Gemara, Ba'askine. So now Reuven gets re-elevated to his right as a Kohen. Ba'atu Beitrei, and now two witnesses come into Beis Din. Ba'amri ben Grusha ben Chalutzahu. They say he's a bit, so now I have one witness saying he's a kosher Kohen. I have two witnesses say he's not a kosher Kohen. So we know which way this is going. The two witnesses are going to trump the one witness because two witnesses are enough to establish anything. He says Ba'achtine, and then we demote him again. Ba'ata Eidatad, and now Another witness comes forward, Ba'amar Yadanabi the Kohenu. So now another witness comes and says, I know he's a Kohen. Udakuliyam mitzarfen le'edim. So in this Ukemta, we think that everybody agrees. In other words, if I have one witness, like Yisachar came and said he was a good Kohen a week ago. And now Zvulun comes a week later and says, I know he's a good Kohen. So in this Ukemta, everybody holds that even though I have two witnesses and their testimony is separated, let's say by a week, we could be mitzarek the Avis. So then, in that case, I in essence have two Adam versus two Adam. He says, "But you've done the coin who the kuliyam mitzarf and Adam." So let's go slowly. So first, let's understand the halacha, and then we'll do the application and the pshat that the Gemara wants to say in the Mishnah. So his status quo ante is he has a cheskes kashrus. So either the status quo ante is because of the father, he has a cheskes kashrus, or his status quo ante is because we had the rumors, and then one aide said he was a kosher Kohen. But that's the baseline, that he's a kosher Kohen. Then the two aidim came and said he's not a kosher Kohen. Now another aide comes and says he is a kosher Kohen, and we had the aide a week ago before that said he was a kosher Kohen. So those two aidim are going to push him in the direction of his previous cheskes kashrus. So we're going to favor the two Aiden who say he's a kosher Kohen, because that was the status quo ante. I'm going to favor them. So he's a kosher Kohen. That's what we think, that he's a kosher Kohen. But there's nevertheless a machloket between Reb Lazar and Reb Shmuel Gamliel, whether we're going to say he's a kosher Kohen. Now, let's see what's going on. He says on line four, the point of dispute, we think, between Reb Lazar and Reb Shmuel Gamliel is whether we have to be choshesh, like a larger issue, which is the reputation, the disgrace of the Beis Din, meaning that like here, one minute they're taking him down, then they're putting him up, then they're taking him down and putting it up. It looks ridiculous. Like everybody loses confidence in the Beis Din. He says Tanakama Savar. When he says Tanakama, he means Reb Lazar, right? 100% correct. He means Reb Lazar. So Reb Lazar says of a makom sheino rimalin kuna. So Reb Lazar says, if there are Orerin and this last witness came in, we're not going to reinstate him. Tanakama Savar came with Achtine lo maskina lei. Once we took him down as a Kohen, we're not going to restore it to him. He says, Chayshin is lewd to the Beit Din. We're concerned for the disgrace of the Beis Din. He says, Rav Shmuel Gamliel Savar, and on Achtine lei, but on maskina lei. No, we took him down, we're going to restore him. Was lewd to the Beit Din lo Chayshin. We're not concerned about the Zilut to the Beit Din. Okay, look, just 1 second. Let's just see some Rashis. Then we'll talk out, and we're not done with the Sugi yet, okay? So the third white line in Rashi, the Chayshin is Zilut to the Beit Din. We're Choshesh for the disgrace, the disrepute for the Beis Din. Shall reduce Shnei Pa'amim. They had taken him down twice. First, there was a rumor they took him down. Then one witness came and said he was Kosher Kohen. Then two witnesses came, we took him down. And now another witness comes, we're going to put him back. So we took him down twice already. He says, "Va'ashav yaluhu bivadlu devrayim." Vayner the kamer of Lazar, the meacharsha horadnuhu al piha orin. So since we've already removed him, is from the kuna. Eimalin al pi eidze hasheni afpi fish sarpo im acher. So we think the pshat in the Mishnah is when Reb Lazar says in the Mishnah, he says 1/8 is enough. He says 1/8 is not enough. Makom sheish orin. There was in this whole scenario 1/8 is not enough. Of a makom sheish orin mal lekuna pierachad. So in other words, if it is orin, then 1/8 said he was kosher. 2 said he's not kosher. Then 1 says he's kosher. We're not going to restore him. And Shmuel says, let's see back. He says, and then one more Rashi. So now Rashi is addressing the point that I said before. He asks like this: like usually, if I have edei hachasha, so you know, 2 edim say he owes, you know, owes the money, and 2 edim say he doesn't owe the money. So the way where we had this in the Gemara earlier, that's why you know this is like such long. This is sugis is. So Eidei HaKasha cancel out each other. It's like we erase it. So if I erase it, so why does he get restored to being a Kohen? So Uki Kredel Haritre, Ukmina Cheske Kamaita. So we're going to put him back to his status quo ante. He says, the Askini Alpi Eida Rishon, Chu Neman, the Hakati in Orin, the Kolav Orinhu. In other words, the fact that there were rumors, that's a zero. That means nothing to us. And then we'll restore him to the status quo ante. All right, the Gemara's not done with the sugi yet, but I just want to make sure everybody understands the proposed Hezber in the Mishnah. So I'm just going to repeat again, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So in the Mishnah, we got into the issue, can I establish Kuna based on 1/8? And we had a machloket about this. Then we had two statements about Reb Lazar and Rishon Eliel, and they were talking about Orin or not Orin. So we didn't understand how each one was different from the other one. It sounded like they both hold that 1/8 was enough to establish it. So the Gemara says, Reb Lazar is saying that if I have this whole Kimta, where a person's father was definitely a Kohen, then there are rumors that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Then so we take him down from the Kuna. Then 1/8 shows up and says he's a kosher Kohen. Then we restore him to the Kuna. Then 2/8 come and say he's not a kosher Kohen. Then we remove him to the Kuna. And then another 8 comes and says he is a kosher Kohen. So I take the 2/8 him. So now I have the 2 Adam who says a kosher Kohen. So Reb Lazar says, no, that's it. Once we took him down twice, we're not putting him back anymore because the Zilut's the Bezdin, because we're concerned for the disgrace of Bezdin. And Shlomo says, no, we are going to restore him to the Kuhuna. And even though there are 2 Adam versus 2 Adam, there's a status quo ante. So either the status quo ante, some Rishon want to say, is the fact that his father was a kosher Kohen, or the status quo ante is that the 1/8 came in and said he was a kosher Kohen, at which point we restored him. So that's the status quo ante. But since the status quo ante is a kosher Kohen, so even if we have 2/8 versus 2/8, we're going to leave him in the status quo ante, and that's the way we're going to go with this. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? What's up, Robert? Well, we're going to see in a few lines. Wait, another 10 lines in the Gemara, okay? All right.
Suppose it went the other way.
But wait, 1 second, David. I have Rafi, and then I'll get to you. Right. Well, I don't know if the Bezdin has to check it out. They're a Bezdin. This is what we are. We're checking the witnesses. The evidence is brought to us, and that's the Bezdin. No, we're not doing the. We're looking at what we have right now in front of us. Okay. What's up? Yeah. All right. Let me get David. Let me do. Okay, David.
Suppose the fact pattern went the other way. Suppose the first A that comes says he's not a Kohen. Then two comes say he is a Kohen. And then one comes and says he's not a Kohen. So what do you do then?
Yeah. So in other words, so the first A. So that gets into the issue that I was talking about, what the status quo ante is.
Right,
so,
right.
So according to some Rishonim, the status quo ante is established by the fact that his father was a Kohen. That's his status quo ante.
So now 1/8 comes and says he's not.
According to that Malach, it wouldn't make a difference. I mean, in your example, is again, so according to that, he would still be a Kohen. He would still be a Kohen because that's the status quo ante. But if I say the status quo ante is established by the first witness, so in your Malach, the first witness said he's not a kosher Kohen. Right. So then that might be a different result. That's what I would think. Okay, and what's up? So we said for certain dinim, one witness like two, like when it we said that, let's say, if by the death of a husband, when one witness comes and testifies to the death of the husband, so the Chachamim said that the one witness is equal to, like, to two witnesses. I don't know if that's wherever one witness walks in. I don't know that. In other words, again, by the death of a woman, it's even like not a kosher aid comes in. It says, in other words, a woman can come in, the eved can come in, and but Chazal said that they're treating it like fact. All right, I let me look into it. But that's the way I believe the way. No, in other words, that Bezin makes a mistake once and puts it back, so that happens. But go back and forth, that's Abkidikaz, that's a Zilzal for Bezin. Okay, I'm going to move on now. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now we're going to get, hopefully, to Robert's question. Okay, now, the Gemara said, now let's go back 1 second. So, okay, now we're up to around line A on Chafam Beis. Okay, now the Gemara is going to, sort of slug up the answer we just gave. So Matkiva Ravashi, so Nakafta is a strong question usually based on Svara. So Ravashi says, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, so then I don't need to have like one witness coming in. Even if two witnesses would come in at the end, I would still have the same result. In other words, the Mishnah says, but like even if two witnesses, in other words, I have two witnesses who say that he's treif, and two witnesses come and say he's kosher, so I would also have the same result. In other words, here, like, why is it that the Tana is madgish about one witness? So he says here, El Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says the machlokin in the Mishnah is different. The point of dispute between Rav Lazar and Rav Shmuel Gamliel is whether those two Edim can be mitzarev, can join together to create an edus. Uvaplugta dahani tanai. In other words, their machloket tracks the machloket tanai that we learn in the following brisa. Tanya, we learn in the brisa. Please look inside, Robert. Look and follow the words, okay? The Tanya. Now, the first opinion in the brisa is a red herring. Is the Tanya. Ein edutan mitzarefet ad shushneim keechad. That an edus is not an edus unless they're both testifying to seeing the same thing. Meaning, let's say, if we see Reuven lent Shimon $1,000 and we both testify to that, that's an eidus. Let's mute ourselves. Okay. Now, but let's say one testifies, I saw Reuven lent $1,000. The other testifies, I heard Shimon acknowledge that he owed $1,000. So that would not be an eidus coming together. He says, Rabbi Shubin Korcho Meir, Afil Bezah Farzeh. Rav Shimon Korcha says, Zachar Zeh means even if the events that they testify to are not the same event, but to the same conclusion, it is an Aegis. But again, that's the red herring. We don't need that for our Gemara. This is the part we need now. He says, V'ein Eidu Tamit Kayem B'Beitin, their Aegis cannot be established in Bezdin, Ad She'idu Shneim Ke'akad, but they both testify at the same time. Meaning, I can't have one person testifying a week ago and one person testifying today. I think the poskim who say it has to be betoken de dibor of one right on the heels of the other one. Rabbi Natan Omer, Shomin Devarav Shlozeh Hayom, Ushuch Ba'avir Lamachar Shomin Devarav. Natan says, I can hear one person's testimony on Monday, another person's testimony on Tuesday. Let's look at Rashi on this, and then we'll plug it into the Mishnah, and then we'll see which way we go. Ve'inu Tamit Kayemet, L'Gabel Be'etin, last Rashi on before the Mishnah, even if they both saw the same event, that's a different machloket. So it means like this. Go back in the Mishnah. So Rav Lazar says that this aid is not adequate to establish the bona fides of the Kohen because he's coming a week later. So a week later doesn't cut it. So at the end of the day, I have two witnesses against one witness, or one witness and one witness, but the two witnesses trump that. And Mela, he's out the door. Whereas Rav Shmuel holds, no, even if one's a week later and one's a week earlier, they could still be mitzurif as one kad of edus, and that would be enough to establish that the Kohen could be restored to his kahuna. So nothing to do with Zilzal of Bezdin, according to this Ukimta. It's just, can the edus be, mitzurif? Okay, so Robert, I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what the Gemara had. Okay, you asked, can... Okay, all right. It means like this. In halakha, 2 and 100 Adam are the same. In halakha. No.
When they both have to be important. The other one said, well,
if
one's done one day, let's just say they adjourn the trial.
Yeah. I mean, it means that's
how big.
Yeah, well, that's the way the world that you're familiar with, but this is a different one. This is a different world. So one is saying that they have to testify at the same time and to the same effect. And the other is saying, no, I could even have one aid like on one Monday and another aid a week later. It is also good. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments to this, what we did? In terms of what? You mean in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah. So I don't, did you see that somewhere? Did that say what they said in your book? So I don't know what halakha maisa is here. That we definitely have. But in terms of where 1 aid, 1 second, let's see. So I don't know what the halakha is in this situation. I don't see my telltale signs in the Mishnah. But I will say this. I will say this. Yeah. So we do see the halakha looks like Rabbi Natan, that 1 aid can testify one day and 1 aid can testify the week later. That we do see. So that it seems like it would go like Rosh and Leo, but I'm not 100% sure. And in addition to which, you know, there's a klal where Rosh and Leo is, but Mishnah Tin, halakha is usually like him, but I don't see the letter in Mishnah, so that's a red flag for me. Okay, I have to get what? Who? What? So we said that a father we've had earlier, it gets a little tricky because if I have Adam who say that he's a Ben, what is the father going to testify to? That a Grusha. So the father's testimony is usually not acceptable about that. So we did learn, all right, let me just leave it at that. Okay, I'm going to the next mission, the next Gemara. Okay. Let's all focus on the next mission, on the next piece of Gemara, and then if we have time, we'll do a little more, and then that'll be it. Okay, Manitin, everybody with me? Okay, the next Mishnah, we're on page 52, Chafav and Beis 26b. Manitin, Ha'isha Shenech B'sha B'dei Ovdei Kochavim A'idei Mamon Muteret Labala. So a woman was taken captive by non-Jews for purposes of holding her for money. It's like she owes money. It's like a debtor's prison. So they're holding her until the debt is paid. So the question is, let's say she's married to a Kohen. The question is, you know, was she violated in captivity? So here the time. Okay, please. Okay. Hold off. They'll make the commentaries in 3 minutes. Okay, well, I'll pause and you'll give it the whole Hesber. Okay. So are they mamun muter labala? In other words, the question is, is her husband, let's say the husband's a Kohen, can the husband now have relations with his wife? Is there a presumption that she was violated when she was in captivity? So the Tanakh Mishnah says, if they're holding her for money, so they don't want to, like, apparently, like, according to their law, the Gemara is going to say it's when Jews are running the situation, but the Goyim are apparently still using their laws. So I don't know what the whole judicial system is like there, but since they're still hoping to get their money, and they want to go to their non-Jewish ports or whatever to get the money, so they're not going to violate her because that would jeopardize the right to the money. So they're not going to do that. He says, "Alidei nefasho rasru labala." But if the woman is being held by non-Jews, you know, on a capital offense with intent, you know, to execute her, so then all bets are off because, you know, they're going to treat her like hefker and violate her, and then we have a problem with it. Now, some of Farshim want to say in the second case, it's also a concern because she might have voluntarily agreed to have relations with one of her captors to you know, in return for a promise to get her freedom, something like that. So again, there's a question among the Farshim: is it only if the husband's a Kohen or even if the husband's a Yisrael? Okay, Robert, what do you want to say? Okay, that's a different shot, not the shot I'm going with. Okay, now. No. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, Amrav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amarav, So Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said the name of Rav, Lo Shanu L'Shel Yad Yisrael Takifa Alav Dei Kol Chavim. So the first halacha in the Mishnah, Aaron, can you do it a little bit lower? Okay. So he says, okay, okay. I'm Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Amarav, Lo Shanu L'Shel Yisrael Takifa Alav Dei Kol Chavim. So they only taught this that the Jews are controlled the Goyim. Now, even though they're controlling the Goyim, it doesn't mean that they're going to a Beis Din to adjudicate their problems, but somehow, like the Jews, you know, kind of like run the show, and so the Goyim are, you know, a little bit like contained. And here's the euphemism. It means if the Goyim are controlling the Jews, not Al-Asman on the Jews, he says, then they'll do anything under all circumstances, and they don't care. So, okay, so Matib Rabba, Rav opposes a contradiction to our Mishnah from the Mishnah in Sefer Eduyot. Now, the Mishnah says, again, so we said in our Mishnah, if the woman is held captive by the Goyim for Mamon, she's Muter Labala, because I'm not afraid, as long as the Jews are running the show, I'm not afraid that they're going to violate her. So Matib Rav, Rav opposes the following contradiction. Heid Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav, that Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah, that gave Eidos, means like it's a halacha pesukim, Abat Israel, concerning a Jewish woman, Shehurana ba'eshkelon. Hurana means she had designated herself to be like a pledge, like a mashkon, to be like collateral for a debt. In other words, so if the debt's not paid, then she's like their chattel. This is an Ashkelon. And as a result of that, so she was held captive, and then at a certain point in time, she was released. Now, she was married to a Kohen. She was married to a Kohen. Members of her family kept her at arm's length when she got back, meaning that they were choshesh that she had been violated. He says, her Edom, the same Edom who testified that she had been taken captive, that Hurana, that she had been pledged, you know, like to the Goyim, they also testify that she was never alone with the Goyim and she was not defiled. Or he says, "Va'amru lehem chachamim." The chachamim said to the mishpacha, "Imatem aminim shuhurana." If you believe the edim that she was taken as a pledge, and that's why you're concerned that she's violated, "Haminu shlo nistra of shlo nidma." Then you should believe everything they say that she wasn't violated. "V'imiatem aminim shlo nistra of shlo nidma." And if you don't believe that she was that she was not alone and not defiled, al tamino shahurana. So don't believe the other part of the Eidus either. So it means either way you flip it, you believe the Eidus, in which case she's okay, or you don't believe the Eidus, in which case she's okay as well. So now, the Gemara says, now that's the Mishnah over Masechet Eduyot. Now he springs his question. Ba'ashkelon, yadovdei kuchavim tekif al atzman. Now in Ashkelon, the Goyim were running the show. So he says, the Katani, the top line of Kabzayin Amar Aleph, Hurana in Nekshalo. So the fact that the Mishnah gave us the case of Hurana. Hurana means that she had been pledged for the debt, meaning if the debt's not paid, they can treat her like chattel and do with her what they want. And so we think under those circumstances, then he says, Rashi, the king of Yisrael lo nefei, the ratio of Zekul Kham B'dinayim, Shunahati B'dinayim, Ino Tashlo Nisra. So the reason I need Edim is because she was, in other words, again, the Mishnah taught that if she's held captive and Yad Yisrael, and the Jews are in control of the situation, and it's for money, then she's okay. But if the Goyim are running the situation, she's not okay. So here, but this Mishnah seems to say, and the Goyim are running the show here. So but the Mishnah seems to say the only time she's not okay is when Hurana, not that she was merely held, but she had been designated as collateral. He says, Hurana in Nechmesh Shalom. So that would be the kasha. In other words, we think Mishnah gives me a case of Hurana, where she was designated as chattel for the loan. So that's like ownership in the event of defaults. I could do with you what you want. So then, but for the Edim, I got a problem here with Hurana. But why does Mishnah give me a case of Hurana? So we think that there's a difference between Hurana and Nefesha. So if she was just held captive for the loan, then we think, and not Hurana, we think she'd be okay. So Gemara says, who are the nefesh and nefesh? Gemara says, no, it would be the same halacha with a hurana, the same din with a nefesh. That's the way the incident took place. That's the way the incident was. Okay, let me repeat once more, and then there we go. Okay, again. Okay, all right. So we'll leave the witnesses out of the situation. Okay, the implication, everybody. Okay, we have the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. The implication of the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot is when a woman was poor enough, she was designated as pledge for a loan, and let's say there would be no witnesses, the implication is she would be Tameya. That's the implication of the Mishnah. Right, because the Goyim are there, she has witnesses that she wasn't, so that's a different result. But if there weren't witnesses, the implication is she would be Tameya. But the fact that the Mishnah gives me a case of Urhana, where she was taken as a pledge, we think that if it was Nefesha, it would be a different thing. Nefesha, she's in default, but they're just holding her like debtor's prison. But Urhana, she had stipulated, like, you know, it's a mashkon. Like, you know, when you default on your loan, the mashkon belongs to me. So you designate yourself as the mashkon, now you're like my Evan, I can do with you what I want. So we think that's why she's considered defiled, but Nefesha not. So that would be a kasha, stira on our Mishnah, if that's the case. So the Gemara says, no, that's just the way the fact worked out. But the same halakha would be of Nefesha as well. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, now I have 2 minutes, but I was going to do a little more, but go ahead. So, I mean, well, sometimes women have, you know, yeah. Right. Okay. Okay, so let me just do 2 more minutes and then that'll be it, okay? Now, all right, well, I'm sorry we don't have more time for this. Okay. Okay, let me just mention one thing. The Hagos Al-Fasi asserts that today, even though the idolaters are not under Jewish rule, a woman in prison for monetary reasons is permitted to a Kohen. He says, since the Jews are treated fairly under civil law, and the law forbids acting immorally with inmates in prison for monetary reasons, we may assume that her captors did not violate her out of fear of losing the rights to collect her debt. So everything depends on the circumstances. According to the Hagos Al-Fasi, it might be a little bit different today. Now, there's a whole tumult he gets into. I'm so sorry we ran out of time with this. The question is, let's say she's held for a capital crime. So then we're choshesh. So Tosus explains that such a woman is forbidden even to her husband, even to Israel. There's a concern and an attempt to persuade her captors to spare her life. She sinned willfully with them to rouse sympathy for herself. So the Ramban disagrees with Tosfos and asserts if a woman is in mortal danger and so-called voluntarily has relations with the man, it's not considered an adulterous act and she does not become forbidden to her husband. So that becomes an important issue. In other words, the person's held, she's afraid, what's going on, but she under those circumstances, she voluntarily agrees to have relations with the man. So is that something that would ask her on her husband? All right, he has a raya from Esther, but I don't have time for it. Okay, that's it. Okay, let me just...